All right, welcome to the class on soaring in March. If the March virus of lethargic attitude is pounding on your classroom windows, take courage. There are some ways in which the battles can be fought successfully, regardless of the pains. I love the pun there for whoever wrote that. It's pretty neat. And this morning, as I was praying for inspiration for this topic, I looked out the window, and I saw birds outside, and there was a telephone line, I guess it was a telephone wire there, and the wind was blowing enough that the wire was just really going back and forth. And those birds, it looked hilarious. They were there and they were back and forth and flapping their wings and just hanging on, and just about, and finally a couple of them flew off, but there were still some that were just hanging in there. And maybe that's sometimes how we feel in February or March. We're just hanging in there on that line and balancing and trying to stick to it and just barely making it. And hopefully that's not your, we don't want that to be your experience. So hopefully we can look at some ways today where we can avoid that. But you know what? I got to thinking, if I was a bird, I wouldn't be hanging onto that wire. I'd be soaring in the distance and flying around. But I think, if you think about it, it might be more work for the bird to fly. It's a little more work to get up there where you can soar than it is to hang on that telephone wire. So it does involve more effort on the teacher's part as well. And there are other factors that come into play as well. And maybe we can look at some of those. And I'm hoping to get lots of feedback from y'all. So first of all, how many of you just really notice a difference in February and March as far as the student energy? It just seemed like, are the students more lethargic and more unmotivated in February and March than they are at any other time of the year? Do you notice that in your classroom? Okay. And I think it varies with schools too. Some schools may have more of a problem with this than others. If it's our expectation that we expect that they're going to be bored in March, then maybe it will make the problem worse. Or maybe if it's been a thing where, everyone says, yes, we need to do something in February and March so that they don't get bored. Anyway, be thinking. This is to get your mind thinking. We'll discuss more of this later. And I have two reasons for February blues. So we will look at the causes of February blues, or March. I wrote down February. I could have wrote down March. Look at the causes for that lack of energy. And then we want to look at remedies. And two of the causes I have, I think, are probably the two main causes of February blues. And, we say the children are out of energy. But how many of those times when your children were out of energy, when they were unmotivated, how many of those times did you feel unmotivated as a teacher? And I think it stems back to it. I mean, obviously, there will be times when you have unmotivated students, even if you're motivated. But if the teacher is burnt out, the teacher's wore out and not really excited about school, the students won't be either. So we start there. Let's start with the teacher. If the teacher is wore out, burnt out, then it will cause February. You won't be soaring in March. You'll be just like Jonathan Erb said the other day. He's like, one school year, he was just really struggling, and he just prayed. He's like, God, just please help me make it through this year. I promise I'll never teach again. So that's bad if it gets to that point. And I've been there myself. Just help me make it through this year. Just this day, please make it through today, and then I'll, So one reason teachers tend to burn out is the teacher is overloaded. Just has too much work, too many students, or too many things going on. It's just, you just can't handle it. There's only so much you can take. When I was my fourth year of teaching in Tennessee, we had three teachers the previous year, and I felt, I have 3 years of experience now, so, I probably can, we were losing some students, and the school board came to me and said, what do you think? We need three teachers next year, or can we go back to two? I was like, it'd be just 15 students. I think I can maybe handle it. And about February, March, I realized that it is really too much. It was 15 students in six grades 4 through 9, or 4 through 8 with one high schooler. And it was just too much for me. Maybe there's others that could handle, and that's great. But I was overloaded, and I was barely making, and I didn't teach again the next year. So that's one reason teachers can burn out. They just got too much on their plate. Second reason I have is outside stress. Are there other things going on outside of school that are stressing you out? Maybe it's the place you're staying. There's some stress between you and your people you're boarding with. Or maybe what are some of the things that stress you out during school? Let's have some feedback. Outside of school, what are some things that could stress you out outside of school?
Social activities as far as youth group.
Okay.
Just running all the time, whether you're in school or out.
Excellent. I like that. The youth is going to camping this weekend or something, or maybe there's other issues as well.
Yeah, they want you to come because you're so much fun, right? And they don't have jobs, really, because they're young and all that. You don't go to the activities with the young marrieds because that you're not the young married, but you're stuck in the middle. I remember that.
Very good. Okay, we'll look at number three. I have something that can cause teacher burnout is student behavior issues. And that's just my worst thing. I just hate dealing with student behavior issues. It's just, it can really be hard because there's not always a thing you can just fix the problem. You can just fix the student. It's something you work with day after day, and it's the improvement is not always. So when you have student behavior issues, it can be a real burnout, cause the teacher to burn out. What are some other areas, other things that can cause teachers to burn out and just say, I just can't do this anymore?
When there's a relationship problem between two or more families and they use the teacher as their go-between or their person that they come with.
Yeah. So you're saying you got one family that comes to you and is saying, this family is doing this and this, and then that family comes to you and says, this family's, and you're just kind of caught between. Is that what you're saying? Mm-hmm. Yeah, very good. Any others? Okay, so those are all things that can cause a teacher to burn out, which will cause February blues and March blues, and you'll be hanging on to the line for all you're worth. Another thing that can cause February blues is student boredom. If the students are just bored and don't have enough to do, that will cause February blues. I always said busy students are happy students. If they're busy, they're much more apt. And again, the general rule, but busy students are happy students. If they've got nothing to do, they're going to, you'll have other problems. So what are some reasons that students are bored in school? And I'm going to let you give you first chance at this one. What are some reasons that students get bored at school?
I don't know if this is necessarily bored. But often at this point in time, you're actually getting into the new part. You're facing a lot of new challenges as far as learning bigger problems, harder problems, and things like that.
Yeah, very good point. At first, it's the beginning of the school year, often the problems are easier. It's maybe more review or something. And then, toward this part of the year, you get into harder things. That's a very good point. Yes. Yeah.
And that was a big thing.
That's a very good point. So the weather, and that's one of the things I wrote down. Weather does not permit playing outside, whether it's rain or snow. And especially if you don't have a gym. Do you have a gym to play in? Okay. How many of you have a gym to play in? Okay. Be thankful. Some of us don't. So if you don't have a gym to play in, it really can make it unhandy for teachers to. But obviously, there's reasons sometimes where we can't have a gym. Maybe Paul could explain why some schools can't have gyms. Do you all have a gym?
No.
Okay.
We're thankful
Yeah.
As long as the forest fire doesn't burn.
Yeah, that has happened before. So, if the weather does not permit playing outside, that can be a big problem. We'll address that. What are some other problems? So we have problems that are, the work is getting difficult, can't play outside. What are some other causes of student boredom? I didn't even think about that. Yeah, a lot of sickness going around. That could contribute to some of this. What were you going to say?
The same thing.
Oh, wow.
When the stomach flu starts circulating, that's not a happy time.
Okay. And we're actually getting into maybe some things for C you could write down that aren't necessarily under student boredom, but they are things that cause February blues. So you don't have to, if you want your outline to be right, then you should put these under C. But that's okay. I love the feedback I'm getting. Any more quickly?
Maybe lack of interest.
Okay.
Don't care about school anymore.
Okay. And why would they be not interested anymore?
They just don't like school.
Okay, why don't they like school?
Parental attitude.
What'd you say?
I said parental attitude.
Okay, yeah. That doesn't help any.
Mm-hmm. And then you've got slow students who are so sick of always working until mm-hmm. the very end of school and taking mm-hmm. their home too. So they're sick of school too, right?
Yep. And we're just hanging onto that telephone wire as hard as we can.
But it's kind of a daily grind thing, mm-hmm. isn't it? It's not that anything's really different in earlier years, it's we've been doing it a lot.
Yeah.
And we face that in day jobs too. It's mm-hmm. just you got to get up. Mm-hmm. Students don't have the maturity to do that
always. Yes, that's a very important point we're bringing out here. It is a routine, just saying day after day after day. And at the beginning of the year, it's fun because it's new. But by February and March, it seems like it's just not quite as, the routine is not fun anymore. And I'm not saying at all that we should just not do anything about it. But that is life. That is life. I mean, if you're a school teacher, it's the same for you. You've got to get up every day, the same thing, and it's part of life. And we'll talk more about that later, too. And back to the thing of the student not being interested, I'm again going to go back to teacher preparation. If the teacher's prepared and can be interesting, and I'm not saying solutions yet, I'm sorry. A cause of student boredom is that the teacher's unprepared. And we'll look at solutions. Okay, let's move on to remedies. I want to spend more time talking about the positive end of this and what we can do to fix it. Remedies for February blues. Remedies for teacher burnout. Remedies for teacher inspiration. How can we become inspired as teachers? And remedies for student lethargy. All right, so remedies for teacher burnout. If the teacher's overloaded, he's stressed out, there's behavior issues, whatever the case might be, I think the first thing he needs to do is evaluate your relationship with God. If your relationship with God is not what it should be, then you won't have the energy. It's like I was saying in one of my other classes, if you don't have God's love, if you don't have a connection with God and God's love flowing into you, you can't pour out that love to others, especially when there's problems. We're not made to be cisterns. We can't just keep pouring and pouring out and giving without taking. So we have to have our relationship with God has got to be what it should be. Number two, I have check your schedule. What time are you getting to bed in the evening? What activities are you doing? Is your schedule packed too tight? Is it just, do you have too much stuff going? And that kind of goes along with number three, prioritize your time. If your schedule is too full, maybe you need to consider prioritizing your time, cutting some things out if you need to. And I know it's, especially if you're part of your youth group there, or if you're with your home youth group, I'm not sure which would be harder, with your home youth group or with another church youth group. But either way, you want to socialize with the youth there, and that's hard. if you have to give up some of those things for school. But be careful about too much youth activities or too much traveling back home to see your parents. I mean, do you need to go every weekend? I don't know how that is. I've never taught it at a school besides my home community, so I really can't relate to that. But I think you would need to prioritize your time. Does anybody have any thoughts just quickly on that? Because I don't have an experience with teaching. Some of you that had experience teaching in another community, how did it work traveling home? Did that cause a problem? Yeah, exactly. Very good. Any others quickly? Okay, so prioritize your time. Make sure you're spending time. Maybe you have to make a list and write down the things that you need to be doing from most important to least important, and then focus on getting those important things done. I don't know. Number four, eliminate unnecessary stress. And that is a big thing. I mean, really look at the stress that you're under. You know, what some of the different types of stress you can be dealing with. Maybe there's some that you really don't have to be dealing with. If it's something that's not really your problem. And I'm thinking especially in the area of school problems that are really not in your realm of duty. For example, you have a family that they're staying up late and the children are getting to school late every day. Talk to your school board about that. That's not really your job to make sure that the family get to bed on time or make sure that they eat breakfast in the morning. We can encourage that, but we can't enforce the family how they do things at home. Or even if it's at church, this is the thing that kind of gets on me sometimes. If one of my students is is doing something, misbehaving after church or something, or I don't know, it you still feel like a parent to them. Do y'all ever feel that? And you're like, just want to tell them to behave themselves or something, but it's not your responsibility. So know what your responsibility is and don't. And also, maybe you have a project going on outside of school. I don't know what, I'm trying to think of some examples of things you could be doing that it's just causing you extra stress. Is it something you can drop and help that out? Thoughts on that, on stress, outside stress. How can we eliminate unnecessary stress, or what are some unnecessary stresses that you've faced?
Last year for me, I was on the youth committee along. I wasn't a full-time teacher, thankfully, but I did that. I had a couple things going, and finally I got off in April, and I didn't realize how much extra stress that actually put on me. And I didn't put all my energy into teaching because I was trying to juggle two things.
Excellent. Thank you for sharing. So you were on the youth committee plus teaching. Yeah, definitely a outside stress you can eliminate possibly. And sometimes we think we're supermen or superwomen, at least when we start. We think we can maybe handle it, and we don't want to go back and say, look, it's just really too much for me. It's hard to go back and do that sometimes. And I wish I would have done that when I was a fourth year teaching, when I was feeling overwhelmed and overloaded. I should have went and talk to the school board and just ask them to, if there's something we can do to help. Because what was happening was, the end of the day, they were doing their catch-up work, and we had used flags for questions, and there'd be days where every single flag was up, and I was just rushing from student to student, and I was just trying to just expedite the process as fast as I can for each student to get the flags down. And, I couldn't help them right that way. I mean, that's not the way to do it. You just... They weren't getting the type of teaching they needed to help them answer their questions. Any other thoughts on unnecessary stress?
I just read a book, and it says that nowhere in the Bible does it say Jesus rush. And I think that's actually really... Okay, as teachers, we have a lot to rush around doing. But it's something to keep in mind, like you said, so we have to be doing that.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Although, I know there were some times when Jesus didn't get much sleep at night, and things like that. I think there's one time, it sounds like he didn't even have a bite to eat. I think he was sitting down, he was getting ready to eat, and then someone came in and he got to go somewhere and he didn't even get a chance to eat. So that happens sometimes, but it probably shouldn't be the normal. I don't know if Jesus could have lasted longer than 3 years doing that or not. I'm sure he probably could have, but we're not Jesus either. Okay.
And I deal with that at work all the time still.
Mm-hmm.
I remember one time I was teaching algebra, and I don't remember why, but for some reason we started the year, they were not using calculators, doing all their work by hand, and we were getting too much work and it was piling up, and I didn't know what to do, so I sat down with a board member and told him all my troubles, and he said, "Have you considered using calculators?" No! I think I will. That was an unrealistic expectation. Yes, there's value in them working out by hand. We had got to the point where they knew what they were doing. Mm-hmm. It was okay to transition, and I had not picked that up in my tunnel vision. Unnecessary expectations are a big problem for me in daily life.
Mm-hmm. Quickly, before we move, we'll come back to this, but how many of you allow your 8th graders to use, maybe you don't teach 8th graders to use calculators? Some of you don't. And there's probably going to be a big debate on this, but we won't get into that. I just wanted to see. Okay, back to what he said about unrealistic expectations. And often, we teachers, are perfectionists. Maybe. I am, partly. My wife doesn't agree with me sometimes when she sees where I put stuff. But in some things, I am. Just like, for example, maybe you're doing the report cards or something, and you spend a lot of time in averaging grades and adding numbers together, and sometimes our perfectionism causes us unnecessary stress. Any other thoughts on that?
I like that idea. That's definitely legitimate. And I just have a little question. Is a lot of focus on good handwriting and unnecessary? I know that's maybe all on the bunny trail, but it's a question that I have. And it can slow some students down pretty bad. They just work with it.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, maybe just an answer or just an idea or two, we can move on.
Sure. I think that's worthwhile. Because that could be, it could be other things too, whether it's good handwriting, or maybe it's spelling, or maybe it's... different things. A student, how much do we allow that to stress us out, or how much time do we spend on helping a student? Let's look at specifically, though, the handwriting. If a student has poor handwriting, how much time do we spend working with them to try to improve that? Yeah, what are your thoughts on that? I mean, is it important to have good handwriting? Yes, I would definitely say it's important. Do all students have good handwriting? No, they don't. And some of them are definitely worse than others. If you can't read it, then you got a real problem. If you can just barely read it, I would definitely be working with that. But if it's if it's where you can read it, well, what's your thoughts?
That would depend on the age level. Like younger students, they're still forming their habits. Well, at the upper grades, I didn't stress over handwriting too much. I mean, we did penmanship, and I would give them pointers, but I didn't stress over their daily handwriting was decent. I didn't stress over it.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. That's a good thought. Very good. Back to you.
I've always struggled with this one, but I think it kind of depends on the student. Like, if it's a really fast student and he gets his work done really fast and his block comes off that very fast, he really has no excuse to hand in a paper like that.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously, if you erase their sloppy work, then it would his child struggles and take homework home, I might just let the sloppy work go. I mean, as long as I can read it.
No, that's two very excellent points. I'm going to repeat them again for the sake of the recording. But so if you have a student who is slow learner or he struggles to get his work done, probably would not be a good idea to work too much on their handwriting. But if it's one that gets done with their work quickly, it's good that they have time to work on it. That's good. And also, what were you saying again about, I'm trying to get the thought again.
Grade level, you know, they're younger grades.
Yes. Thank you. So in the younger grades, it's more important for that to work on that, to get it right. But once they're in, if they're in sixth or seventh grade already, how much are you going to be able to improve it before they graduate? So those are good things to look into. I know when I was in school, my handwriting wasn't the best. And I'm just amazed sometimes that my teacher, I wished he would have worked on me a little more maybe in school, because I would have had some extra time. But it's kind of the thing, yeah, there's only so much you can do. And if you have extra time, if you're not overloaded already, then maybe you could work on it. But if you are overloaded with other things, I would say that would be one thing that it would not, there's more important things. And it's not worth you burning out to work with just a child that has maybe mediocre handwriting if it's still legible. And again, maybe there's other opinions on that. Any other thoughts quickly before we move on?
I'll just play devil's advocate.
Okay.
How much are people writing in the 21st century? What's the future of handwriting? Obviously, it's necessary, but your students are going to say, my dad never writes anything. You know, there's a lot of businesses that are completely paperless. It's all electronic. I would argue you ought to be focused on keyboarding over handwriting in upper grades, at least. Not when you're forming habits, in the young, but in upper grades.
And that's definitely an issue that probably could be debated. And yeah, I think that's a very valid point, though, that we maybe need to consider. Okay, let's move on. So number four was eliminate unnecessary stress. Number five, share with someone. But please use discretion. We don't need to be telling specific things that are happening by specific students to just anybody. Let's be careful who we share with. But you need to, it's so good to share with somebody just to get it off your mind. And then if it's someone that can help you, maybe offer some advice. That's huge. Share with somebody. And number six, I have remember your school board. Okay, they are there. They want to help you. They're on your side. And so many times, at least for me anyway, I just think, you know, I'll just see if I can make it through this year, you know, and then it'll be over. The year, it's just another month of school left. Surely I don't have to go to them. But they can help you, and they can offer solutions, and hopefully they are involved already. Hopefully, if the school board was here, I would just talk to them and tell them, look, be connected to your teachers and know where their energy level is, because they should be checking up on you on that, something like that. Hopefully something like that would not go unnoticed, but sometimes it does, and you maybe just need to say something to them. Any other thoughts on remedies for teacher burnout?
Maybe it's an obvious one, and it's important to me because it happened to me, but I was burning out in the second year I was teaching. I thought, I pushed my creativity button and all that would come out is a puff of dust. I was tired. I've been friends with Jonathan Erb for a long time. I remember calling him and saying, Erb, what can I do? And he gave me some encouraging things. I tried them. It didn't really work. What I was young enough to ignore was the fact that I was physically tanking. And I went home. I was not doing that well. I went home. I crashed for a couple weeks at home that summer. Saw a health professional, got some things straightened out that I was dealing with. And I went back the third year, pretty much recharging the way I went. Herb's encouragement didn't really help me that much, because literally the problem was in my gut, and I was not recognizing that. And when you're 19 and 20 years old and you've always went as hard as you wanted to and it never mattered, it may matter. Mm-hmm. And I was not, I don't know, I probably felt too busy to pay attention to my health, I guess. Mm-hmm. That can sneak up on you.
And I just talked to someone else this week that dealt with the same thing, had some health issues going on, and pretty much disabled him as a teacher, could not, had to quit in the middle of the year or partway through the year. So, you know, be aware of that. Hopefully it doesn't happen to any of you.
I think your only option is ask for help. I mean, you can't
right.
say that will be healed.
Yeah, exactly.
And the harder you keep pushing, it's just going to get worse. You've got to recognize it and be honest.
Yeah, like I said, be honest with yourself. Be honest with your school board. They need to know what's going on. Some schools have a, you know how do y'all just look forward to the school board teacher meetings where you go to the school board and they ask, now do you have anything you'd like to say? And you're like, and you just don't know what to say. But I like some schools have a evaluation thing you fill out. The school in Osceola has this, where the teacher puts down a number. You know, what was your level of energy this past week? What was the student's level of energy this past week? Maybe you should consider doing something like that, where they have there's a weekly or whatever quarterly evaluation of your energy, the student's energy, and behavior issues or things like that. You can suggest that to your school board in any way. Okay, moving on to B, teacher inspiration. I love this one. This is where this is what helps keep me going, some of these things in this part. Because if you can be inspired as a teacher, it just makes a world of difference in the February blues. And I know all of you cannot do this, but this is what we have done, and it really, this is how we do it. Not necessarily for this purpose, but it helps for this purpose. We have Bible school, area-wide Bible school, and we take off 2 weeks of school in the spring. And I go to Bible school, and it's a 10-day Bible school, so it's not necessarily, but I take off, go to Bible school. And that just really inspires me for the rest of the year. And maybe that's something that's out of your control, but I just wish that school boards would be a little more open to the idea of letting the teachers go to Bible school. Maybe there's reasons, I don't know. Maybe I should ask Paul, why do some boards maybe not let the teachers go to Bible school?
Oh, it causes a terrible disruption for us, and it messes up the students, and you have to get a substitute in, and then you don't know how to pay them, or what should they be paid, and do they do as good a job, and they don't know all the routines, and it throws a tremendous monkey wrench.
Thank you for that perspective, but I'm saying take off of school for 2 weeks. There's no substitute involved.
Oh, well, it's a bunch of waste of time, though. I mean... Yeah, I mean, you can look at it that way, or I can take the high road and I can say this, I mean, I care about you as an individual, and I would like you to enrich your life as well as a teacher as an individual, and yes, maybe there's a creative way we could all gain a little bit here. Mm-hmm.
And that would be included in the thing of spring break. I don't know, do any of y'all do a spring break? Okay, a few of y'all do. How do you like it? Yes. Okay, any other thoughts on that?
There's teacher meetings in Georgia. I think they're in February.
Okay.
Absolutely fantastic. Mm-hmm. You feel like you're kind of starting the year over again.
And they do that during spring break?
Well, that's when we have ours.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I've heard other teachers say, well, it seems like they tried that, and the students just, they lose the momentum. The students just forget stuff during that time. I suppose that could be an issue too. Any of you, those of you that don't do spring break, do you have any thoughts on that? The problems it could cause, or if you don't do spring break, what are some problems that you've maybe heard, or is there a reason that you don't? And I'm not saying you should. Obviously, it's not your decision to make either.
As a school board, I would say it pushes the school year longer, and sometimes there is a legitimate reason that we're juggling schedule to try to make things will fit within some time frame or something.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I taught at traditional schools, and the one school we always did, but most times we had a school program in March.
Mm-hmm.
And so through February, March, the school program was a big deal. The students all really enjoyed it.
Mm-hmm.
And that kept the momentum going. They all were so focused on that. And then after the program, it was all the end of the year things, and it was great.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's an excellent point, and I have that down on the list here on the last section. I want to look at that a little more. And I'm not trying to push the spring break thing at all. That's not your decision to make. But one thing I think some teachers might be a little bit scared to ask the school board. You know, maybe you should just ask them, is it okay if I take off for Bible school in the spring? If you think you might be needing inspiration. And just see what they say. I mean, if they say no, that's fine. But if you don't ask, then you won't know. That might be something that you could ask them if you could go to Bible school or something. Number two on teacher inspiration, and that is the recorded teacher talks. Just like here, there's lots of things being recorded, and you don't have time. I'm sure all of you are probably feeling just like bursting at the seams with all the ideas and information. It's just an overload. It really is. But they are recorded, and it is a wonderful thing you can do, maybe while you're traveling or something during the school year, to listen to some of these talks and be re-inspired again. It really helps me out. And there's you can go on the DOC website, and there's lots of things you can download from there. And it's, yeah, listen to other teacher talks, recorded teacher talks. Number three, last year, or maybe it was 2 years ago when Dan Sullivan was here, he mentioned something I think is very important. Right now, you know, we're getting lots of ideas. It's good if you can write those ideas down. Because right now we have lots of ideas, and we're just all excited about the school year, and we got things we want to try. Write down those ideas. Make a list of things that you want to do, but make it in February and March. The things you can do in February and March to help things be exciting or to inspire you. And then when you get there, then you'll have something you can go off of. Any thoughts on that? Okay, and also number five, I have, and this kind of goes back to what we talked about earlier, other teachers or mentors. Talk to people, to have a mentor or something, other teachers that you can share ideas and inspire each other. That can be a real thing. Just don't let it be a gripe session where you're just, both of you just bemoaning all the things that are going wrong. And I'm not saying you can't share things that are going wrong. That's not the thing. But like you said, pray about it. Don't just let it be a gripe session. Any other ideas on what are some things that inspire you in February and March and keep you going? Okay, if not, we'll move on to the last part, student lethargy or student boredom. Let's look at some practical things we can do now to keep students energized. And there really is amazing sometimes some of the simple things you can do to bring life into the classroom in February, March. And like was mentioned earlier, practicing for the program can be a huge thing. Practicing for just having your program, you know, in that time of year and practicing. They usually love that. It's something different. And oftentimes the schoolwork gets cut back a little bit. And that's just a lot of fun. That can be the thing that takes care of the February, March blues. Another thing that we just did this past year is we started an aquarium in February. I pulled an aquarium out. One of my families had one, and we caught some fish out of the creek by the road, the ditch by the road. Caught some fish out of there and put them in there. And there was actually a guy that stopped by, and he was stocking his pond, and so he gave us a whole bunch of fish, from catfish and bass and all just baby fish. We put them in there, and unfortunately, not very many of them made it, but a couple of them made it, and of course, the fish from the ditch made it, and they just loved that. There were snails in there, and I mean, you never saw. I mean, I asked them later on. I said, they were supposed to write down things they enjoyed, and all of them, that was a huge thing. Just an aquarium. It wasn't even a lot of work. Maybe it was to get started. It would get dirty every so often, so they would, can we clean the aquarium out this Friday, you know, or after we're done with our work, and they loved doing that too. So I was just amazed how much energy and life that put into the classroom. And I have, I think I have on your handout, spring break, that kind of, we talked about that already, so we won't be on that. That could be something to give them some new energy. And of course, obviously, any kind of extracurricular activity that you can do outside of school. Obviously, it's good to do things that are educational. And I will say this now, as far as maybe you came hoping to hear this 30 things you can do in February or March to keep things exciting, something for every day in February. I'm going to be honest with you. I'm not really a big fan of doing something every day in February, and I'll tell you why. Now, there's exceptions to the rule. If you've done this, don't feel like you've... But if you try to have something fun every day, where every day you're popping a balloon and something is new is happening, for one, it's not really sustainable. It's not something that you can do. I mean, what's going to happen when you stop doing that then? Are you going to just do it for the rest of the year? It's not very sustainable. And two, it takes a lot of teacher work. And it could cause the teacher a lot of extra stress. And sometimes it seems like the more you try to do fun stuff in school, the more the students want more fun stuff. And so maybe the first year it works fine. But then the next year, if it's just the same as last year, then it's boring again. You have to go even more and make it more exciting and more. So, and thirdly, it's not really real life, like was mentioned earlier too. That's not how, you're not going to, when you get a job, when you're 18, you get the job and you go to your boss and you pop a balloon to see what you're going to do next that day, or maybe it's something, whatever. It's not. They need to learn the discipline of learning. It's much better, I think, to spread out those 30 things throughout the whole school year instead of just packing them all in 1 month. But if you do something, make it educational, like a science experiment. I was talking to Verlin. His class is enduring to the end, so they're trying to endure through the end of the school year too. But he said that have something. He 1 year he tried just doing a science experiment every day at the end of the day. And that could be something. If it's something educational, it would be much better. What are your thoughts on doing stuff like that? Or maybe you disagree with me on the thing of the 30 days of February. And that's fine if you do. Okay. Other things you can do. So extracurricular activities. We're talking about activities that are not necessarily school related, but that you can do in February, March to keep things energized. One of my friends that I talked to said what they do is they do hygiene kits for Cam in the spring. He collects it. It does require a lot of teacher work. He collects the stuff in the fall, buys stuff from Kohl's and somewhere else, and what they do, the students, instead of giving Christmas gifts to each other, they take that money and use that to buy stuff. So they put in the money and they use that stuff to buy the stuff for hygiene kits, and then they put them together. And he said the students really enjoy doing that in the spring. They make a line or whatever and they put these kits together and send them off. And it's a good lesson for them in missions and helping them to look at others. So that's one thing that he mentioned. Another thing you can do is roadside cleanup. Just maybe one afternoon and load them all up or somewhere and go out, and obviously you want to maybe check with your local officials there, but I'm sure that you could probably find a road that you could clean up and pick up trash along the road. And they're doing something productive, and it's something new, something different. They will love that. Go on a class outing. Just go to a local museum there's several museums in the area, and I'd like to take my students out to some of these places. Take them out and just do something for an afternoon. Or take them, another one that he mentioned was take them to the nursing home to sing for the old people there just some afternoon. That can be something that is just, again, anything different is usually fun. And you don't want to do it every day. This is just something that you do once in a while that can help bring new life back into school. And another one that you can do is have like a fun day. And again, this is not something you do every day, but maybe every other Friday, have the school board or parents or both, whatever, take turns or something, planning a fun day or afternoon where you have some games or something. And this could even be instead of art. It's good that the art teacher didn't hear me say that, but you know, it could be. It could save you the work of planning an art project or something. If they're planning, if you're not having to plan it, that's just all the better. If it's something that the school board or parents could plan, maybe they'd be happy to do that. Or maybe it could be, I've heard before too, like have one of the parents come in and teach some type of new skill. 1 year I had one of my parents, they knew how to take a, what was it? Take a piece of paper and make
a paper boat.
Yeah, that's what it was. Make a paper boat. And they knew how to do this. And so I had them come in, and so they taught students how to make a paper boat. And the students loved it. If you can get the parents involved in school, that can really help. And they have them do stuff. Maybe one of the dads knows how to wood burning or something like that that they can come and do. Okay. Still have a little bit of time yet for your thoughts. What are some things that you have tried that worked well for you to bring life and energy back into February and March? One thing was mentioned earlier about the weather. So what if the weather doesn't permit you to play outside? What can you do in a situation like that? If it's raining, how do you handle that? Yes?
An afternoon at the library is a big thing they will offer.
Okay.
If your library has a little corner set up, you know, with good books.
Mm-hmm. That's an excellent idea. Take them to the library, and obviously it promotes good reading too. Maybe you could even have a little class on how to use the library. How to, did they know how to use the computers and find the book catalog thing? That could be educational as well. I usually take my 8th graders every year to the library, and we do the CLE library trip. It could be a whole school thing. Thank you. Very good. What else could you do on a rainy day or when you can't play outside?
One time I had my students, our ball field was a mess, and it wasn't burning very well, and they were all kind of discouraged about it, and so we just cut our recesses 5 minutes shorter and did something that maybe wasn't as much fun as ball, but then did some other work, and then when it got nice out, we went to the park, we saved up our time and went to the park and played ball, and they didn't mind cutting recess shorter, knowing that they were going to get to go to the park later, and Yeah,
I like that idea. I mean, first of all, I was thinking, cut up recess short. That sounds like the student's going to be groaning. But no, if they're saving up for a day off.
Yeah, then we had a whole afternoon to play ball, and we had a lot more fun playing ball than we would have fallen
mm-hmm. And it teaches them a life lesson, you know, delayed gratification. Just it's cutting off, but we're saving up for a day off. I like that. Excellent idea. And another thing is just have ideas ahead of time. You know, if you know it's going to be raining all week long, bring some things, some games, some card games or something to school that you can have ready. If you don't have any kind of game ready and there's nothing, it's going to be worse than if you can have some games. And there's books you can get that have all kinds of games you can play inside. Maybe play some of those concentration games that Jonah was doing in his class. That could be, something you could do if it's raining outside.
Y'all know, I think called bowl ball. Y'all know about that? Where you just take like a 6-foot table and put a ping pong ball on it, and you line it with students, and then you try to blow the ball off on the other person's side. It's hilarious. And yeah, they get all sweated up just huffing. My students used to do that. It was a good one.
Yeah, let's get some more ideas, some games, indoor games that you can do when it's raining. I like that. That idea. What do you do when it's raining and you have to play inside? My students last year, they played a lot of blitz, but we had a smaller room, so it made it easier. But what kind of games do you play? Any suggestions?
I had a very big classroom, but we did jump rope.
Mm-hmm.
You have to have the ready setting.
Mm-hmm.
She used this educationally, but I didn't know you could do this. If you take sidewalk chalk on carpet, you can write like crazy, and when you're done, you can vacuum it right up. And she went through her whole, I was substituting for another teacher, and this is what she was doing that day in her classroom, and I was so fascinated. Because she went all around through her desk doing this hopscotch thing, and she was the first second grade teacher. And it was math facts, so I don't know, 1 + 2 = 3, and however she organized that for a hopscotch for doing all the math facts, all winding around through their desk. You know, it was just the most fantastic thing. And at the end of the day, backing it up, and it was done. So you could do foursquare or all kinds of things with sidewalk chalk on your carpet.
I'd recommend doing it in the corner and experimenting first before you run it all over your mind and find out the red and the gray.
Yeah. Okay, very good. Excellent idea. I didn't know that. Learn something new.
So if I walk chalkwalks on the carpet, one time I did outside, this is a long I let them stake out a place and they built their own, well, they drew rivers and creeks and houses and barns and whatever, all, and I have some artistic upgrades so I enjoy it inside too.
Mm-hmm. I've got
just one more idea. At the very worst, if you want to, if you're going to get pushback on your carpet, go to the carpet store and get remnants of carpet and just flop them out and use them for on-the-floor canvases.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, very good. One thing about I'll just say about all of this stuff that we're talking about, you need to know your school culture, how they do things, especially if you're moving into a new community. Know how they've been doing things in the past. You know, if maybe they do something every day in February. I'd be careful about just eliminating that without getting some advice, talking to the school board about it. Make sure you know your culture there, and I would try to, as much as possible, do what they've been doing without making too many changes, because the students are really going to be upset if they're used to, maybe you do something on the 100th day. That's one thing that was hard for me to accept. I didn't really like the 100th day thing. But we weren't used to that. I never had that in school. I didn't teach it when I was in Tennessee. But when I moved to Texas, then they did a 100th day. And it was okay. It was fun. We kept it. And the students love it. If I had just said, no, we're not going to have a 100th day, it could have caused some problems. So know your school culture. And stay in touch with the school board. Make sure they're okay with the ideas that you have. Because if you do something, the school board finds out that the students went out and all day they went fishing or something or whatever, and they're like, you know, you might run into some problems. So, yeah, make sure you talk with the school board, communicate, and again, be inspired. School really is a lot of fun, and the school is interesting. The work is interesting of itself. You don't have to have a lot of fun things. You can make the work fun for them as well if you put extra things into it and a little extra time. And doing that, I just want to encourage you in that. Thank you so much for your attention.